Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are Reclaiming the Republic, and are you ready to start digging in? Or actually, you should have been dug in already. Are you ready to start reporting on where you are, what you're doing, and your strategy moving forward? Do you have a tactical strategy? Do you have an overall strategic strategy? Kind of sounds a little redundant, but actually no. When it comes down to fighting a war, and if you don't think we're in an ideological war, you might be tuned into the wrong show. This is the last and the final war. This is the war that has to be brokered by you. And as a matter of fact, this is where you don't get to send, you know, the children off, or you don't get to, you know, hire mercenaries. Everybody has to get involved to some extent. And let me correct that. Not everybody. All we need is enough. As a matter of fact, what would it have taken? What was the requirement, the minimum, in saving Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot only had to find one person. The Lord went all the way down to find me one person righteous enough to save Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot couldn't do that. Now, we're not in the Sodom and Gomorrah times. There are a lot of people that are clearly aware of what's going on. Many of them are just, you know, they're engaged in the wrong things. And when I say engaged in the wrong things, they're doing things because based on that's all they know. They don't know anything different. So what do you do when all of a sudden you come across the truth? What do you do when all of a sudden you realize that Christianity was actually something different, that Christ actually taught things differently? What do you do when you realize that there is some truth that comes from the archives, that was deliberately buried by somebody, or let's just say obscured? When we say deliberately buried, that means somebody took an active role in hiding it. But maybe they're just trying to actively keep you from going over there to looking at those things. No, this is what we need to do. This is how we do it. And this is how we move forward. Because that's what they've been doing for almost 200 years, if not more. As a matter of fact, John Marshall was the chief culprit in leading us down this march of blind trust in the judiciary. Now, in talking with Bob on his lawsuit over the petition, I want you to understand where we are regarding the court. The court is so corrupt. You think that Trump injected three good conservatives? I don't think one of them is conservative. I don't think one of them really cares about protecting the Constitution. I'll give you Gorsuch is a great example. And as a matter of fact, if you read Bob Trump's fourth and final attempt in getting the Supreme Court to do their cotton-picking job in protecting the Constitution, you will find that Gorsuch and Sotomayor actually were involved in two cases of Bob's First Amendment petitions. And both of them ruled against it, and they were wrong. What do you do when you know the Supreme Court is absolutely the enemy? Well, folks, that means we're going to have to do the heavy lifting. The beautiful thing is Madison, as he speaks from the dust, tells us that we don't need and we shouldn't even be considering going through the judiciary. Go read his report on the Virginia resolutions. He clearly states that the judiciary is just as equally corrupt as the rest of the government at this point. And they don't have the authority to make the determination on whether the Constitution has been violated. Because as Madison points out, they're likely to support their violations. It's like it's like going to your child who's got cookie crumbs all over them, on their lap, on their face, even on their hands. And all the cookies are gone. And you go and go, well, we believe that you took the cookies. And the child says, no, I didn't do it. And even though you have all of this evidence, they still deny it. And they still deny. So what do you do? Well, you have to, as parents, you have to pick the child up and you have to make corrections in that type of behavior. One, the stealing and the lying. That's what we've got to do with our government. And the only, and I want you to understand that this is not a passive process. You just don't sit there and listen. You have to start getting involved. You have to start going after, and this starts with your county commissioners. Have faith. Start looking at using First Amendment petitions. Call us, 425-270-5416. I am working on a First Amendment petition to actually go after and stop Congress and actually demand demand Congress be removed completely. In other words, we will have no Congress because there's not one person in Congress calling out to do their job. I've yet to hear Rand Paul. I've yet to hear any of these quote-unquote champions of the, you know, conservative cause understand the Constitution enough to say we have to deploy the National Guard. You know, that entity that they created to replace the militia, which is unconstitutionally done. I want you to understand. Forgive me. It's going to be a tough day. My cough is getting worse, and I'm hoping we can actually attack this just like we need to attack the government. And when I say attack the government, I don't mean, you know, with weapons. I mean with the Constitution. First Amendment petition. So this petition regarding this invasion on the southern border, there's only one thing that they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to make it easier for people that actually sneak across the wire to become citizens. And as a matter of fact, it's very clear in the Constitution that they're supposed to have a uniform. They're supposed to have a uniform process of naturalization. In other words, the same process for them as it is for Chinese, as it is for English people, as it is for Africans, as it is for any and every person around the world. And the reason why they're allowing the Southerners, or I should say those to our southern border, look at the history. Now, there are tendencies. Now, it doesn't mean that people can't overcome their cultural tendencies, but there are tendencies that occur culturally. And if you look at the tendencies of the nations that were created and the nations that created those nations to the south of us, Spain and Portugal, go look at how they acted, go look at how they behaved over the course of history, and you'll actually see true empire-building countries, and you will actually see inhumane tactics, I mean, so forth and so on. If you look at what we're allowing, I mean, it's not like they took the approach of a civil process of expanding Spain and Portugal's, you know, influence in the New World. They were very ruthless, and so you can understand that permeates throughout the culture and has been permeating for years and years and years. So when you look at some of the criminals, very ruthless, lacking civility, lacking just the things that you would expect a humane person to do. Why is it that that there is such a lack of that within some of these, you know, if you want to call them MS-13 or any of those organized crime syndicates that are coming up here, that Biden is allowing to come up here, that Obama allowed to come up here, that the Bushes, they kind of allowed them to come up here too, and Clinton allowed them to come up here. For decades, they've been allowed to come in and get established, running drugs, and actually, it's like our government is, if you want to work on doing something that is destructive in America, it's almost like the government will help you. In the old days, if you wanted to have a small business and employ people in the community, the government would have helped you back then, a long time ago. Not anymore. I mean, they may seem to do that, but the people that they're really helping are those who are here to actually engage in political warfare in one way or another. And it boggles my head that we have a government that is working so hard to destroy our constitutional republic. They're ignoring it. And what really boggles my head is that there are U.S. citizens that are chanting and cheering, faster, faster, faster. They want to see the demise of this republic occur faster. This is why I have told you for years, we have to reinstate the Tory Acts. This is why we actually have to take back this nation and get rid of these people who are doing this. We have to do that, and we can. History and the law is on our side. We'll be right back after these two promos. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so over the past, because what I want to do is I kind of want to close, because I was just, in the previous episode, I was just trying to create clarity, because I know that I in some ways, and as a matter of fact, I used to be in sales, and the products that I would sell when I was competing against others. And as a matter of fact, I was very honest with people. I told people that there are better products than this, but go buy those and you'll find that you're going to spend 5, 10, 20 times more for a product that is only marginally better. These are audio equipment, right? So, I mean, you could go spend 20 times more and get something that's marginally better. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine, And actually, we became friends. He came in, and this is when I was doing speaker sales, and I won't tell you the brands or anything, but I was selling a very specific brand in the exchange system. I was the rep for that company. And as we sat down, because he came in, and I'm going to give you the history of this, because this really blew him away. He came in, and his wife was out on the floor, and she was looking at a rack system, and he just wanted to buy a boom box. Get that? A boom box. And he came into me and he says, hey, you know, my wife and I are kind of, you know, at odds with each other. She believes that a rack system, having separate amp, preamp, and all of that stuff, and separate speakers, is better than a boom box. And I told her, a boom box, you know, sounds just as good. There's no difference. And to a salesperson that is selling quality audio equipment, you know, because she was actually looking at package systems by Pioneer, Kenwood, you know, the cheap stuff. And so this was a huge golden opportunity. So I sat down and we talked for a good hour plus. And I told him that, you know, what I was representing compared to everything else in this showroom floor was significantly better. And that, yeah, you could go get better, but go look at how much you spend. And so, and I said, bottom line, unless you put the two speakers side by side and do an A-B comparison, you know, matching levels and everything else, and you actually do a very good objective comparison from one speaker to the other, you'll really never know which one is better. It's all based on your subjectivity of what you like to hear. So he goes off. Goes downtown to, and this was in Hawaii, so he goes down to Honolulu Audio Video where they send the most, so they sell the most expensive stuff, and they have the largest selection of stuff for high-end audio gear, and he ends up buying like these $10,000 speakers. And the speakers I was comparing or competing, you know, with were one-tenth, less than one-tenth that. I mean, he was well over 10 times the cost of the speakers he purchased for the speakers I was comparing. So I said, you know what, why don't we, you know, after he got these and he, you know, he all of a sudden had this big conversion. And that and that conversion was right there in that speaker room, because in A-B comparisons, he actually heard differences as we started comparing the different speaker lines available in the exchange system. And it's always good to, you know, to represent the best. You know, it's a tough job. You got to be one heck of a salesman to sell something that is in, you know, not the top. You know, it's not the best of the best that is at least on the available on the show floor. So anyway, he goes out and, you know, he buys all of this stuff because he was convinced after I did these A-B comparisons that there were differences, and he was just amazed that there was that many type of differences that he actually was hearing. But he never knew this, right? It was never explained, and he never had the actual tangible evidence in front of him to where he actually heard the differences. So he goes down and spends, and I'm going to say, in the near $60,000 on his initial audio system. He spent more money on his initial audio system than he spent on his car. And so, anyway, this was a golden moment, right? So after, as we became friends, because come to find out, he worked in the exact same command I did. And so we started spending time talking and so forth. And he was always bragging about how good his speakers were. And I said, I told you that you could buy better speakers, but they're marginally better compared to what I was selling you. And I can prove that. And he goes, no, you can't. And I go, yes, I can. Let me bring my speakers over and we'll do an A-B comparison at your house. You can, you know, control volumes, make sure everything is right and go back and forth. And you tell me. And when I brought my speakers over, and he listened in an A-B comparison, he was so upset, he took those speakers back, because he did. He paid 10 times the price, and he said they weren't anywhere near that 10 times better. They were marginally better. And he goes, and it's kind of like what you spend, and most guys can get this. When you start souping up a car, You can go spend, you know, a few hundred dollars, a couple thousand dollars, and you can make some, you know, real improvements in getting your car's performance a little better. But to start shaving off, once you've maxed out those little costs of, you know, dual exhaust and so forth, to start really improving the performance, you have to spend a lot of money. And it's an exponential expenditure because it goes up dramatically. Because I watched my brother do this. He took his Chevelle and ended up turning it into practically a funny car. And he spent an inordinate amount of money. And it's sad to see the people go chase that. You know, and I get it's not sad. If that is really, you want that ultimate performance, the best that you can possibly get out of that physical car, or the best that you can possibly get out of electronics, then there you go. I mean, it's like it's speaker cable and so forth. Anyway, the whole point that I'm doing this is that over the past few years, I have given you all the evidence necessary how we're right. Republic Review is the only process, and that they're wrong. They are destroying our Constitution, and there's a process to stop them and actually reverse and undo and put us right back on the framers' path, and that liberty is always superior to enslavement. We fought a civil war to prove that. Now, as I have given you this evidence, and as I have been in a position that, you know, it's like I'm the speaker guy in that showroom floor again, and I've got the best product out there. What do? Do you brag? Well, you can. And over time, you realize you just can't brag because you don't sell that many speakers when you're just bragging about you repping the best. So what you have to do is you have to create some level of humility while you still have to have this level of arrogance. Because what you want is humility brings people in towards you. And then you have to be able to actually, you know, prove that this stuff is that good. And then when people go, wow, I never believed you, that's where you really have to kind of harp, you know, keep control on the arrogance. Because sometimes if you get too arrogant, you know, people get, you know, put off or what have you. You don't close the deal. What I am doing here is, you know, maybe something very similar to that. I am providing you with the things that you need to buy into. There is no doubt in my mind, if you move forward with Republic Review and you began to understand this, you will not find another process, nullification, nothing. There's nothing out there that will solve the problem. Only Republic Review. So there's a reason why Madison and Jefferson went down this path. These men are far more brilliant than I am. And I can only say that the Lord bless me into, you know, helping me stumble into this position in very specific events in my life. I don't understand why other people, I mean, shoot, Thomas Woods, Dr. Woods, a very smart man, smarter than me. He wrote a book on nullification, and I can't believe he didn't take the time to read Madison's notes on nullification. Or if he did, he must have just glossed over it and only skimmed, you know, into very certain things. And that's where you can get in trouble, because you miss the facts, you miss the gems that are actually there. You think you found something and you run off with it, and aha, here it is. And come to find out, somebody comes out of the exact same, you know, hole that you just dug, and they come out with a much bigger gem and say, ah, see, this is what you missed. And that somebody happened to be me. And the fact is that when you look at Republic Review, I am just the messenger. I need a league of messengers to help educate people, to help get people engaged and help get started. This is why this last summer we started talking about running petitions. What we have to do is we have to maintain a center. This is why I have faith that the Constitution Party can do this. I have faith because there are other parties out there. There are other entities, alternative conservative organizations, but only one bears the name of his gift. And when I say his, I mean our Lord and Savior, the one who inspired the actual founding document. I mean, you could call it the Lord's review, but it's not. The Lord gave us all agency. He gave us all the ability to make decisions. And as sovereign states have the agency to choose whether they want to save this republic or they will stand idly by and or actively work in destroying it. Folks, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Now, clearly, you could be listening to somebody that's talking about all of these crises, all the mandates, and all the tyranny. Or you can actually be the one talking that there is a way to remove the tyranny and the heels of the jackbooted thugs on our neck. We have an opportunity, my friends, to actually do what needs to be done, and we don't need an army. I want you to go count how many state legislators there are, and these are the positions that are key that can start moving the state and educating. I believe in training the trainer. I remember when I was in a position, and I was going to actually go down this path today. Before I retired, I had an opportunity to actually lead in engineering to determine or to help programs determine what their problems were so that they could succeed. And so one of the things that, I stumbled into was this concept of training the trainer. And in creating a team of, all you have to do is actually train a couple of the people. They can come back and teach everybody how to maintain, how to do the work, and actually how to be able to do the work that the manufacturer, the, you know, like if it was Dell, if it was Dell equipment, then how would, you know, Dell be able to support this? You go teach a few people how to actually do all of the service support for Dell equipment, and then you come back and you teach everybody that. Now, they may not get the same level of education, but they have enough education and enough experience as they've been trained by on-the-job training to be able to do that. And voila, now you have a team that is capable of sustaining the system that you have without having to pay the exorbitant Dell cost of maintenance, because that's where they get you. And this is a reality. When we, you know, in engineering, we realize that our service contracts were absolutely more expensive than the cost of the equipment, even though the cost of the equipment was in the millions of dollars. With the program that I worked in 2006, we introduced this policy, this training the trainer and taking full responsibility over and only paying time and materials. And by taking that approach, we hardly brought the manufacturer in to do any repairs, and we saved the contract and the government on the north end of over $50 million, because this was a huge system. And because you have to pay for all of the pieces, or you go for time and materials. And it was just cheaper to do the time and materials and have everybody trained to actually support it. So everybody goes, wow, that, you know, that was a huge lift. It really helped us maintain contracts with that particular customer. And so the next opportunity that I had was they had a failing program. They sent me out. But the interesting thing was, in this particular case, it had nothing to do with the program, the work itself. It had more to do with the personnel and morale. And if you have bad morale, you're going to have bad performance. And it was just proven. And anyway, so my point is that I've had a lot of opportunities in seeing how things can be done. And you don't need to have everybody on board. When I went out there, and even though morale was bad with this one program, I told them that there were key people that you needed to get in, you know, get engaged and change their morale so that they could actually lead their teams. And these people, the real problem was they had been working for the company. They hadn't had a significant promotion. They haven't had an opportunity to, you know, be, you know, how do you get thanked by your company? How do you feel like you've been appreciated for what you're doing? You get promoted. You get a big raise. And they'd never done that with anybody there. This was in a location where people just hopped from one job to another, so they were self-promoting themselves. And the concept of actually promoting people from within and keeping them and retaining them was just like, well, why do we do that? You know, there's just so many people out there we can hire. Well, you know, when you have people doing something and they understand what you're doing, and having to train somebody else to do that exact same thing, it's just not worth it. It's cheaper to be able to just keep her. Anyway, so when I walked away after 2 weeks of telling them, out of 18 points, half of those were either personnel or morale issues that I said, if you address just half of these, that you will probably save the program and actually be able to, you know, have a success and be able to maintain it. And sure enough, they did. If we get state legislators to train, but how do we get there? This is where the whole focus over the end of summer was on petitioning, getting organized, and moving your county. How do you move your county to become a constitutional county? We have these problems of these, what we call county commissioners and supervisors. Many of them are rhinos. They don't understand the Constitution. And all they understand is, you know, the intricacies of the mess that they've created. Well, you know, if you want to clean up the mess, you have to get rid of the designers of the mess, because all they're going to do is they're going to continue building upon the mess that they've created. 9 times out of 10, messes will clean up themselves, and things will actually move ahead and actually clean up without a lot of real intervention. A lot of times it's just getting, you know, a little pat on the back and or doing something to empower people so that they can just do the job themselves. The point is that we need to start using petitions now. We need to start going out and getting petitions moving for the 2022 election. You need to, if you're in a blue state where you had a governor that violated your rights, this is how you go after your county commissioners. We have a Republican form of government. Your county commissioners are your lowest level of legislators who represent you. They don't just represent you, they represent how many people live in your county. If that's a 250,000 people, that's a lot of people. And so when the county commissioners walk in that door at the state legislator's office because you've petitioned them to go after the state legislators to hold them accountable to their oath of office and to actually remove that governor who has violated his oath and violated your rights, now you've got something moving. If you can't find a county commissioner in your county to do that because you happen to live in a what we'll call a pink county or maybe a purple county, it seems conservative, but it seems like it's just not conservative enough because your county commissioners are actually progressives. They just run with the Republican next to their name, and then they do everything that the lobbyists tell them to do. Well, get rid of these folks. That way, when you get in there, the lobbyists are sitting there and they're entrenched in the back rooms. You kick them out. You say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You don't belong here. You're not an elected official. I don't care what you're offering. We're not buying anymore. And we're going to undo all of the things that you've done. But more importantly, now you have somebody to go up to the state capitol. Because, again, when you sign a petition, that's just you. You know, Citizen Joe, Citizen Mary, whatever. When you get them as your representative to go represent the county, and you got your five county commissioners, three county commissioners, however many you have, and they all go and they demand that the state legislature, and they're speaking to the legislatures that represent that county. Could be a couple, could be just one, or it could be shared. It doesn't matter. What you have to do is you have to go after your county commissioners first. Once you get rid of them, and what we do, and we went through the details of this, you hold them accountable. If you petition them and they do nothing in the 2022 election or in their next election, which could be another 2 years away, so it could be 2024, but you get rid of all of them. Your biggest job, the hardest hurdle that you have, is finding someone that would be willing and understanding the Constitution, understanding what they need to do is make sure that every public servant is in full compliance of the Constitution and make them a champion of enforcement and compliance to the Constitution. There you go. They become the champion. They become the superhero. Then, and you unleash them, and you do this in every county. All of a sudden, things will change at your state level because guess what? You'll now find people to start replacing those people at your state level because all of a sudden, people are realizing, wow, it's kind of nice having constitutional compliance down at the county level. They're kind of stopping some of this stuff. Now, the people that are going to complain are those people who have it in. And when I say it in, that means that they've owned the pockets of the county commissioners, and they're going to come right in and they're going to try to use their money and influence to get their favors so that they can control. So you have these in your county, you have them in your city and so forth, where these contractors or people that have contracts, whatever it is that they're doing with the city, they have exclusivity. They have this monopoly on what they are doing. You have the ability to tell these people to take a hike. Your job is to ensure that everybody has a fair shot at doing what needs to be done and that you're not there to give favors. that you may be the most competitive at this point, but down the road, if somebody's more competitive than you, they get the job. You got to quit taking money that way. We'll be right back.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so, you know, this is the last segment. We haven't even gone through the obligatories, but I'm not going to go through the obligatories today. This is a non-obligatory day. Fact of the matter is, my friends, if you do not realize what is going on, it is going to get bad, and it's going to get chaotic. And the best thing that can happen during chaos is people having a plan and people having an attack. And the best plan and the best plan of attack is to use your First Amendment rights of petitions. As a matter of fact, as people start learning, and we can provide you with the history, just go to Reclaiming the Republic petition page, read up on the history, get those footnotes, get the documents so that you have all of this, so that when you go to your county commissioners, you can provide the evidence and the proof of what a First Amendment petition is, and that, you know, the fact that they have no choice but to sit there and listen to you because it's a constitutional right. And as you prove this and as you move forward, people are going to go, wow. Why didn't we know this? This is when we start actually shining the light on the evil that has been constraining us, been lying to us, and obfuscating the truth. What we have the opportunity to do, and I'm seeing it, my friends, we have the opportunity to do this. This is the time. We now have an opportunity to actually fight. And I honestly believe that we can flip both houses. And I told you just within the past week or so that after this election, there is a possibility if you get congressmen and senators that understand that there is a lawsuit, that you get them to run and you replace these rhinos and you replace these worthless, treasonous legislators that are in Congress with champions of the Constitution, what you would be able to do is get them to actually stand up, recognize that based on this lawsuit, because this lawsuit is actually in court,
they can actually change and actually comply to the lawsuit without the court telling them to, right? I mean, so let's say you have a county and the county has done something and somebody is suing the county because the county did them wrong. And so the county is trying to fight and trying to, you know, just stave off and spend a lot of money on fighting somebody suing them because they, the county did them harm. Congress did the country harm because they violated the Constitution, which is why they are being sued for the first time in the history of this republic. Yeah, that's right. First time. So this new Congress in 2023 could, as they get seated, could take the stand and say, look, we are currently being sued by the We the People Foundation, Bob Schultz and this, I forget Tony's name, by these two gentlemen, and that we were wrong in doing what we did. And instead of spending more time and delaying the inevitable and in delaying and denying justice, we're actually going to remove this president. We're going to clean up all of the crap that he has done because he has been unconstitutional. And we will follow the 12th Amendment. Actually, what they have to do is they have to follow the 12th Amendment to go seat or unseat the president first. And then once they have proven that he was not the legitimate and somebody else actually takes over, then Congress can actually kind of undo, they can't undo the spending, but they can undo all of the laws that were created and signed by him, all of the things that he had undone. Congress could actually do that. When you are in a lawsuit, you don't have to wait for the court to tell you that you have to be a good guy and you have to make good with the bad that you did. You can do that on your own. The court does not control both sides. They're just an arbiter to basically determine whether you did bad or not. And the evidence is there. All you have to do is prove and get enough people to go into Congress to have that conversation. I'm telling you that those few people, if they had cameras that they could record the faces and the responses from those who are dwelling in the swamp, you will realize that, you know, that's just how far gone the swamp really is. But as they get in front of the people and as they actually start asserting, just like the radical left can get opportunities to get in front of the people. Many times when you have live coverage, it's really hard to all of a sudden, you know, every time, I could just see this happening, every time that the champions of the Constitution are standing in front of the camera and they start talking and all of a sudden everybody kind of realizes that the message going out is, you know, is really harmful to their agenda, then all of a sudden they have technical difficulties. Wouldn't it raise everybody's eyebrow if every time there was a press conference in D.C. and they just couldn't get something to support their narrative, that it actually went against their narrative, that they were constantly having technical difficulties? Yeah, it would be, I guess it would be what you could consider just standard operations, and it would be more evidence to prove that the media is a propaganda machine that has been designed to be divisive in the United States and to actually divide us. So anyway, as we're looking at all things considered, what we want you to do is we want you to use the Constitution as a weapon. That's exactly why the Lord designed it the way he did. And the framers didn't even recognize that. But they didn't realize that they were lacking this one thing called the 14th Amendment. More specifically, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment that actually holds all public servants accountable to the Constitution. Folks, we go through this all the time. And this is why these petitions are going after your governors, because they violated the Constitution and they're obligated to support the Constitution, which means that your county commissioners are obligated to support the Constitution in going after public servants because of Section 3. As we start educating the counties, this really does help the counties become more constitutional. This will allow you to open up a race against your rhino, because I'll tell you, in Spokane County, the sheriff that is in Spokane County is a rhino. He goes after patriots, and he goes after those who understand and try to teach the Constitution. He considers them enemies, just like the Biden administration. How is there any difference? And you have to understand, just because they have an R next to their name doesn't mean they're a good guy. And as a matter of fact, the whole point, and as I started going down this path, I believe the Constitution Party could be the party that would basically make the existence of parties obsolete. Because we all understand that parties, factions, division is the worst thing that we can allow in our society. That we all have to actually live within the law and follow the processes within the law of changing it if there's a problem with the law. That's the most beautiful thing about this system that no society has ever had. There's no society that has ever had these types of mechanisms and this type of liberty galvanized in their constitution. So, one of the things that we're hoping, we're praying, is that you start learning. So go to our petitions page. Go look at, and I'm hoping that maybe this after this weekend. And oh, by the way, the color-coded constitution is up. It's available. It's on the podcast page. If you want to go look at all of the red on the constitution, those are the things that we are outright violating. The yellow is, we're on a line, we're stepping over that line, and the orange is we're beyond the line, and it's almost egregious. Just so you understand, we want you to actually start learning and understanding these petitions. Go read, they may be a little long, but read them. If there's a grammatical error, please let me know, because I can't edit myself. It's really difficult for me to edit myself because I lack that focus of being able to look at anything that I've written, because I look at it and I go, okay, this is what it says. And anyway, so I'm really bad at that. And if you want to help, that's one thing you can actually do. Go through my articles, go through my stuff and actually help edit it. Because when I've gone down the path of having people like publishers edit, what they wanted to do was rewrite and take the teeth out of what I was saying. Now, I'm going to tell you that if you take the teeth out of the message, then people don't get the same message. If you take the teeth out of the Bible, and the Bible basically says, oh, well, yeah, there's going to be, you know, a judgment, but, you know, everybody will be okay. It changes the message. You can't take the teeth out of the message. And so I've learned that, and I've learned that you have to maintain the truth. I'm so thankful. I can tell you I'm a very rich man with the associations and the friendships that I have with all the patriots and good people in my life. I am a very rich man because of that. And I'm G.R. Mobley, and we are all reclaiming the Republic, but we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.